Palmer on the Norris and Davis Show next. Opening day forecast today, sunny, high near 60, clear and cold 37 for the low tonight. This sports report brought to you by the BGE Smart Energy Savers Program. Get Earth Day savings with rebates up to $350 on select Energy Star qualified appliances for your home. Find out more at BGESmartEnergy.com. With your sports updates every 20 minutes, live from Pickles Pub just outside Camden Yards, where you've got free breakfast and ice-cold Dollar Miller Lights. I'm Kevin Battle, 105.7 The Fan.
Going, gone!
Take me out to the ball game.
It's opening day 2012 with Norris and Davis, live from Pickles Pub across from Camden Yards. Brought to you in part by Dave's Collision Center, Sport Clips Haircuts, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Four Boys of Dundalk in Parkville, and Jerry Chevrolet.
Ain't a beer cold, baby.
Now, here's Norris and Davis on The Fan.
Two gone in the top of the night. The Birds are on top 6-1, going for a three-game straight sweep against the Minnesota Twins to go on to the World Series. The runner at first base, Tiant, with two gone. Renick at the plate. 2-1 delivery from Palmer. Grounded towards the hole at short. Belanger comes up, throws to second. The ball game is over. The Orioles have won three in a row from Minnesota.
A Jim Palmer highlight. The highlight, rather. And who joins us here in the Norris and Davis Show as we're broadcasting live from Pickles. But the great, the Hall of Famer, Jim Palmer. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good. We're surrounded by people that are have been drinking Miller Lights at 6 a.m.
Yeah, but you're giving them free breakfast to go with it.
That's true.
That's right. You've been paying attention.
I almost thought, I was going to the ballpark yesterday morning to watch the Twins work out about 9:30 or something, and I was listening to you guys on radio. Well, you weren't there. I don't know what you were doing yesterday, but I was thinking, gee, that would be nice if I could somehow figure out how to shower and shave at the ballpark. It would be nice, but don't have that luxury, so I couldn't come over for breakfast and do it live.
All right, well, we would have found a place for you to shower. We would have gotten you in the clubhouse. We're talking with Jim Palmer, joining us in the Alpaca Ford hotline, because he's too chicken to come down and be with us live at Pickles Pub, but that's okay.
That's
we still love
that's
him
exactly yes.
All right, you know what I was thinking about when I was thinking about Arrieta getting this chance to be an opening day starter? What's that like? So you obviously started many opening days. What's Jake Arrieta thinking right now at 9:04 in the morning, and what do you want him to be thinking as he leads up to this, this thing he's never done before?
Well, I think, he did pitch the home opener last year, except that the Orioles had gone down to Tampa Bay and beat the Rays at their game. They gave up they would have eventually win the first four, start out 6-1, and then give up one run or less in the first four games, which I think has happened in many, many years. But I know that the one thing, and I talked to Jake yesterday, is that his elbow feels a lot better than it did last year after he had the bone chips taken out. He was shut down in August 6th or 7th, something like that.
Hey, he told us, Jim, that this is the first time he's ever pitched without pain since his high school days.
Yeah, and you got to understand what happens when you have, I never had chips, but you certainly get tendonitis, in years where you'd pitch 290 to 320 innings, and then, you'd have the postseason. What happens is you lose your extension. Buck Showalter was just saying that I just hope that, last year he did win 10 games. Zach Britton won, his record was 11-11. The one thing that Jake was really the beneficiary was run support. He had the third most run support, something the Orioles really didn't do well for a lot of their other pitchers. Just imagine how many games Guthrie might have won if he had gotten four runs a game. So Jake, he's certainly a very capable pitcher. He's got four good pitches. I think both Rick Adair and Buck Showalter, the manager, the pitching coach, respectively, would like to see him throw more fastballs. And his fastball was up into the mid-90s, 97 in spring training. So, health is wealth. He's a young pitcher. He's a very hard worker. He wasn't one of the guys that worked out with Brady Anderson. That was Madison Tillman. But, during the season, you can just, if you're on the ball, on the road, or you're at Camden Yards, you'll see him running stadiums. So he's very well prepared to pitch today. I guess the only question is, it's not your nerves, can you just not overthrow? Because there's a tendency if you overthrow, pitch count gets up, and then you don't pitch as long as you'd like to.
Hall of Famer Jim Palmer, our guest in this opening day. Jim, talk about the pitching staff a little more. We look at the other teams in the AL East, and I think the Rays have the best pitching staff, maybe in the American League. How do these kids, our guys, compare? if they come back, if after surgery he's healthier and pitching without pain, and you know, and people get their velocity back and things like that, how do we compare with some of the staffs in our own division?
Well, I mean, that's a really good point because, you know, if you look at the Orioles last year, they were 28-44 in the Eastern Division. Now, you know, they get waffled by the Yankees and Toronto. They won 9 of the 18 games against the Rays. They were 8-10 against the Red Sox, and they won 5 of the last 7 games they played. It really kind of destroyed the Red Sox. But the Red Sox that the Orioles saw in September, a team that played, what, like 7 wins, 20 losses, wasn't the real Red Sox, at least the people. Yeah. The Red Sox Nation hope it's not the real Red Sox. But, you know, the only team that really had outstanding numbers when we talk about, you know, the Rays, the Jays, the Yankees, and the Red Sox in their division was Tampa Bay because they pitched so well. I mean, they were 42-30 in the American League East. You know, again, the Orioles only, you know, they were 16 games under 500. So, you know, they don't, until they prove that they're as good as Tampa Bay. I mean, Tampa Bay has about 6 good starters. You know, the Yankees thought, you got Sabathia. He couldn't beat the Red Sox early last year, so that's not a good matchup. But they got Kuroda. They have a pretty good staff. I mean, is Freddy Garcia going to scare anybody? Nova won, 16 games, but he didn't pitch that well this spring. So the Orioles just have to get their guys out there. They have to get the innings. They have to get the experience, and then we're going to see how they do.
Hey, what should people expect from Chen this year, not having, I'm certain, maybe when we do see him, it'll be the first time anyone's ever seen him pitch?
Well, I don't really know. You know, it's funny. If you talk to Buck Showalter, he was trying to get him as many looks against, the real competition, not B games. He wants to see because, you know, you come from, you know, pitching, in the Far East. You come over here. I mean, I watched him throw a couple of times. You know, he's an upright guy. He throws 90 to 92, 93. Wada, you know, who's had the elbow problems, you know, Buck really likes him because he's a finesse pitcher. The Orioles actually faced him the other night, when he was pitching for one of the college teams, and we're very impressed. So, you know, they throw a lot of strikes, but they, you know, they come to a different culture. They come to the best baseball players they're ever going to play against. And, you know, the great thing about it, I mean, it happened to me my second year. You know, everybody got hurt, and at age 20, I got a chance to pitch. So, you know, whether it's Chen, who's got much more experience, or Arrieta, you know, or Britton when he comes back from his shoulder problems, or, you know, second chance for Brian Mattis. I mean, this is what you ask for. You know, they give you the ball every fifth day, and then you take it and you run with it. And it looks like this pitching staff is pretty prepared. Rick Adair, who was really the bullpen coach last year, so Mark Connor left, he seems much more relaxed, and he's done a nice job with this team. So if they're going to make many inroads into being a 500 ball club or better, they got to be better. I mean, they gave up, 5 runs or more in 56 games. That was more than, you know, anybody else in baseball. And, you know, the 60 quality starts, was the fewest in baseball. The Red Sox and the Rockies were about 11 less than that. And we know how the Red Sox really struggle late in the year. So, you know, if Buck Showalter wants to be a better manager, and we know he's a terrific manager, let the starters get into the seventh, you know, 6 2/3 innings, and then you can match up with your bullpen, and you're going to win a lot more games.
Jim Palmer joins us on the Alpaca Ford Hotline this opening day. Jim, how would you define a successful season for this ball club?
Excuse me, I couldn't quite. How would I define?
How would you define success for the O's? Yeah.
Well, they got to win. They got to win more than they lose. It's funny. They know how to do it. I mean, they J.J. Hardy, they only had one winning season at last year, and that was September. But they did it against some of the best teams in baseball. You know, now, you know, you had an expanded roster. You had 5 lefties in your bullpen. You know, because of certain situations with options and things like that, I think that Zach Phillips, who had a terrific, last couple of months last year and a great spring training, you know, he's going to be in Norfolk. He would probably, I think, Buck would like to have him on the ball club. But, you know, until then, all of a sudden, they just have to go out there, and you got to figure out some way to either score more than you give up or give up less than you score. And, they did it in 2010, yet it was August and September, but they won 17 games in those 2 months. And, you know, if they can have some winning months, all of a sudden you build on it. You know, if you look at the club last year, Ed, it wasn't like, I mean, they only won, 69 games? But, you know, 61 games into the season, which is, about a third of the season or a little bit more than a third of the season, they were right around 500. And then they went through a two-month period where, you know, the the team ERA was almost 6 runs a game, and all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself going 17-46, and all of a sudden, you're looking up at everybody else in baseball.
Yeah.
Talking with Jim Palmer, you know, there's a lot of renovations to the ballpark. One of the things that I do think has people excited around here is the addition that's going to be unveiled during the season, obviously, of the 6 statues of the Hall of Famers. So what does that mean to you, that you're going to be in bronze?
Oh, I'm going to be bronzed, yeah. Well, you know, you go from, let's see, a baseball uniform to underwear and now a bronze statue. you know, I'm actually looking forward to it. I mean, mine's in July. I know I'm not scheduled to work the weekend of April 28th when Frank Robinson's statue is going to be unveiled, but I'm coming back because I'm actually working the following Monday in New York. But, you know, Frank, I mean, just think about who the statues are. You know, Frank Robinson, I was on the ball club. I was 19 years old in 1965, and Frank came over in one of the best trades, if not the best trade the Orioles ever made. And, you know, he gets 49 home runs. He wins a Triple Crown. He's the most valuable player. He gets two World Series home runs. You know, along with Brooks, they both home run, hit home runs in the first inning of the game out in Dodger Stadium against the Dodgers, and everybody on the bench is saying, hey, we might have a chance to win. And then you get Brooks in May, you know, one of the great players, but one of the great guys in baseball. You get Mickey Rooney, Earl Weaver, in June. Well, that's what they used to call him in the minor league. You know, I say that affectionately. You know, Jim Palmer, me.
Anyone said anything affectionately about Earl, by the way.
Well, not lately, but no. Actually, you know, we probably talk to each other once a month on the phone. And that's only because I made him feel so guilty. I called him Christmas. You know, I was looking through some things. I saw his number, and I called him to wish him Merry Christmas. And, of course, he was traveling or something like that. And then I saw him at FanFest or something. I said, you know, you don't even return the phone call. So he calls me once a month now just to make up for his overlooking my good wishes at Christmas. You know, so then we got Eddie Murray. I mean, you know, one of the four guys with over 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. And then you've got Cal Jr., who I met when he was 4 years old when I played for his dad when I was 18 in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So it's going to be a great summer, but we'll make it even better, obviously, if the team, gets over 500 for the first time. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, there are a lot of good ball clubs in the American League East, but when you have a lot of good clubs, you know, maybe they're not going to win 96 games. Maybe it's going to be 90, 91 ball games because of the great balance. So all of a sudden, if you're over 500, you know, the last couple of years, we'd say, well, if the Yankees are winning 102 games, what would 87 wins mean? Well, 87 wins might mean a lot all of a sudden if this American League East is as balanced as everybody thinks.
And 2 wild card teams now, too.
Yeah, well, that's too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, let's not get that gay. But let's think about the picnic area out there.
It's opening day.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things. You know, Steve, you were talking about some of the new things. They have that kind of that picnic area. Out right behind the center field fence, and everybody was wondering if it's going to actually be in the batter's eye. So I know Major League Baseball might have okayed this, but it'll be very interesting to see if there's going to be any, reflections or, not mirrors, but we saw guys working out there yesterday, and it'll be kind of interesting to see how that's dealt with.
Well, if they do it well, then it only reflects in the batter's eyes of the opponents. So we'll see how crafted they are at this stuff.
Yeah, Morse code from center field. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Jim. Hey, good to catch up with you. We'll see you at the ballpark today. Thanks so much.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Take care.
The great Jim Palmer joining us here in the Norris and Davis Show. Coming up, we're going to play 5 at 12.